At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
One o'clock hour. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold.
Let's go, Bink.
Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley. If you're watching the video stream, a little disco dancing over there. You should be watching the video stream. If you're not, you're missing out on Jay Binkley right now.
Threw back to 1989, Bink, right there.
This is all
Bell
you.
Adams.
This is all you.
Discotheque.
Mm-hmm. Bink filling in today and tomorrow. Tomorrow's a snitch line
Bink
Thursday.
Had the perm going and everything.
At 1:15 tomorrow is snitch line Thursday.
Really?
I know you're excited. There's no Professor Bink tomorrow. No, we're gonna save
that
for Friday. You kind of did.
You guys misquoted me though. You thought I said every kid was a little bastard. I said the ones that stole the candy were.
Okay.
That was, no, seriously.
It still counts. The fact that you call kids that is just insane.
The ones that stole the candy dish. I said those were little bastards. You equated me saying it about everybody. And then, Drew, you had the same take I did a couple days later when you didn't like seeing all the pictures of people in Halloween costumes. It was very Binkish.
Now, you can dress them in a costume, but we don't need to all see it. It's like your Thanksgiving plate. We don't need to see what you're eating on Thanksgiving. It's fine.
Bunch of haters.
Nobody cares that you ate yams.
But we want to see your Northern Light pictures.
No, we don't want to see those either.
Oh, we do.
That's fun. That's something we can all appreciate, I think, you know? Anyway.
Let's grab some Scooby snacks, buddy.
Coming up, back to 1989. For Bink. Coming up in 10 minutes, we will discuss load management and if it's already happening in college basketball based on what occurred last night in Lawrence. I do not think that's what happened, but others disagree with me, and we will discuss whether or not it will happen if it isn't already happening. But in the meantime, you guys see the latest from Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe on the stadium front. So he was speaking to the Associated Press, and in an interview with them, Mike Kehoe suggested that maybe the Chiefs could make some changes to Arrowhead that would make it more weather resistant without turning it into a full dome. We all know the stadium thing has dragged on for years now, and we all know that if they stay in Missouri, it's going to be a renovation. And if they go to Kansas, it would be a brand new fully domed stadium. Here was the quote, full quote from Mike Kehoe, governor of Missouri. There's some interesting architectural improvements to make to Arrowhead that could be conducive to an all-weather protective environment without being a full dome. I would say look at some of the structures that are in Europe that have some sort of fabric device that goes over it. Now, immediately, I thought of, and I told you guys this earlier, the Frankfurt Stadium where the Chiefs played the Dolphins a couple years ago. And if you guys remember, they kind of had an interesting concept where it basically folded up into the scoreboard.
Yeah,
and then
really
it was just like basically these connective like rods expanded out. And then this fabric basically just expand like a tarp, for lack of a better term.
Keep your punts low.
Right? So, okay. I get why, look, if you're Mike Kehoe, you're trying to keep the Chiefs in Missouri. Duh. You're the governor of Missouri. You should try to keep any billion-dollar business in your state. The renovation for Arrowhead, a lot of people are for it. A lot of people are against it. You guys know where I stand on that for the last couple of years. If this would allow you to host other events, does that get more people on board, I guess, would be the thought. I'm not convinced, though, one, that this is a real idea. Number one, this is coming from the governor, not the team, as far as the fabric roof. The other part, it feels a little gimmicky. And if it's just a piece of fabric that covers, that's not fully enclosed, which means you're not getting a Super Bowl just because you have some fabric over the stadium. You're not getting a Final Four if it's partially outdoors. Or not. Imagine if it's wind, like you can't play that outdoors. So I don't think you get the same benefit. So either you stay in Missouri, you renovate Arrowhead with no roof, and you just keep it the way it is. You don't get the big events and all that. Or if you want the big events, you're going to have to build a fully domed stadium. They haven't talked about doing a retractable roof. It would be a fully domed stadium on the Kansas side. I don't get the idea of just having this fabric material, whatever it's called, covering part of a stadium. It's not even a canopy like they have in, talking about in Buffalo or other places.
Yeah, it depends on the technology. I haven't clearly seen this developed with other teams in professional football. We haven't seen it at all. So I can't say it wouldn't work or, partially work. I just know that the grand scheme of things, the way you build the dome is, one, you do it for noise. Don't have to worry about noise because Kansas City fans are already loud enough. So it's not about noise when you have less fans like some teams need to do to have domes so it can be loud. Like they used to do in St. Louis with the Edward Jones Dome. They weren't filling it, but it's a very loud place because of the dome. So that's one thing. They don't need that. So we know they don't need that. And two, I don't know enough about this technology. You watch that game over there. There were some problems with that roof and how it was as far as your kicks and things like that. So not wild about that. And number three, I think the biggest thing is, can you allure other events? And this is more of the sports commission, type of thing. Can we bring the Final Four to Kansas City? Because they clearly only play in NFL stadiums now at this point. Right. So that would be the biggest thing. And it's not about, fans don't care. They don't mind going out there. They didn't mind going out there to minus 31 degree wind chill
right
against the Dolphins. That was an advantage for the Chiefs because the Dolphins are really, really cold. Yeah. And so that played right in. Much different than playing the game in South Beach. So that was an advantage for Kansas City, and that's a good advantage to have. Now, I don't think the fans care, but getting events to Kansas City, I think that's the bigger deal. Bringing the income, bringing people.
Yeah, if you're going to have all this public money involved, it needs to bring.
But I just don't know enough about that technology to see it work or not.
Yeah, if you're going to have the money spent, it needs to bring events year-round. My opinion on the roof thing. I mean, I would prefer a retractable roof, even on the new, even if it was a new stadium on the Kansas side versus a fully domed stadium, because I do want the elements still, but I also want the ability to have the events and, for the most part, have some sort of requirement on what the temperature is. If it's negative 5 degree air temp, then they probably will close it. But if it's 35 degrees, I want it still open. Well, if you go fully dome stadium, then whether it's 90 degrees outside or 5 degrees outside, it's closed. And that part, I'll admit, that's going to be different and that would suck. It really would. The noise would be fine, duh, but it would suck. I just have said from the very beginning, I don't think a renovated Arrowhead personally makes a ton of sense at this point in time. That's it. Doesn't mean I don't love Arrowhead. As I've said over and over, it's the first stadium I went to. I've gone over to the Missouri side for just about every single sporting event, a majority of every sporting event that I've ever gone to since I've lived in Kansas City. I was born in Kansas City. So that part doesn't faze me. I just don't think it makes sense to put $1.4 billion into a stadium of the age of Arrowhead when you're not really, we'll see what the new renovation plan looks like, but if you're not going to attract other events and other things around the stadium, and we all know that, unfortunately, that area around the stadium has not grown.
And it should.
There's a Taco Bell and a gas station. Not even a Denny's anymore.
It used to be a Denny's. We caught on fire or something like that in hotels. It should work when you're at the corridor and all the traffic on I-70 and 435, and you're kind of right there between them, and you draw over a million fans a year for baseball. You would think it would work. I don't know why it doesn't work for For some reason, it just doesn't.
Some now, says, who cares about us having a Super Bowl here?
But they've said
for the,
that
for the economy for Kansas City. It brings in millions and millions of dollars. That's why. The same reason why the world, like if you're saying the Super Bowl is not for the fans in town, it's for the economy of Kansas City. The same reason the World Cup, like a lot of us are hoping to go, but the World Cup is not necessarily for us. It's for the world. It's to bring people to Kansas City and hopefully generate a ridiculous amount of money for the economy.
Like Dome Stadium.
I'm not some economist to give you dollar amounts and whether what's true and what's not. But I'm like the idea that like we don't need these events, only the stuff that benefits us that live. Like that's just not how big cities grow.
Yeah, but
though.
That was
like,
the thought on the draft for the longest time. It really was. It was the thought on the draft. Then all of a sudden they came here and he saw the millions of dollars it generated. It was like, oh,
right.
This isn't too bad. So Kansas City's not doing bad at all. Matter of fact, it's doing great considering the draft was here. Considering the World Cup's coming to Kansas City, cities like Denver were involved in the bidding and didn't get it. Kansas City got it over places like Denver. It's big. I'm more of the retractable roof kind when it comes to football.
Right.
Baseball, I'm for retractable roof as well. I think baseball should be played outside, but I understand the rain comes in a lot in the spring and in early parts of June and stuff like that. So it'd be nice to have tickets, actually go to a game and not have to worry about being canceled. Or, you know, I've been out there with long delays before. So you're not having to deal with that with roof. But again, that's a different sport. Football, I do believe, is meant to be played outside. Now, if you do something for the elements because it's going to draw, you have the retractable roof so you can bring in the Final Four. That's a whole different discussion is that part. And how are the Chiefs viewing it? Are they looking now as, well, it's a historical site now because it would be, well, it's the third oldest stadium in the NFL now, but the Bears looks like they're going to be getting a new place. So then it's only Lambeau in the Arrowhead Stadium. Buffalo was number three. They're getting a new stadium, so they're off that list now because it was made in 74. So it depends on how you're looking at it. Now, Lambeau, they did a nice job with it. You've been up to Lambeau, haven't you?
I have.
And they have the nice Hall of Fame. All the renovations they put in Lambeau, because they did. Lambeau underwent a lot of renovations. And they did a pretty nice job with it, to be honest with you. As far as where it's at, it's in those neighborhoods. It's not going anywhere. But they put a bunch of money into it to try to draw business and money coming in. Even when the Packers aren't playing, they've done a nice job of doing that. So if you're looking at Kansas City and how they kind of did Lambeau and kind of just get behind the whole historical aspect of it, that's one way you can go. But
someone says just figure it out. They're staying in Kansas City, so who cares? And that's where I think a lot of people are at. I understand the economic difference if the team leaves Missouri and goes to Kansas. None of us are acting like that doesn't hurt Kansas City, Missouri. But they are still staying in Kansas City. I get it. Like this is where like the Border War Park comes into play, right? Like I get it. If you live in Kansas City, Missouri, and you want the team to stay in Missouri because you recognize the amount of money that would leave the state of Missouri. Like I get why you're pissed off if the team were to go to Kansas. I understand that. But at the same time, acting as if they go to Kansas, that like the team is gone and you're done with them and all that. Like I just don't think that's realistic.
But I understand the draw for Missouri and the legislatures of keeping a pro team in the state of Missouri.
Well, no kidding. But that's what I'm saying, Bink.
You know who's up for being the biggest loser of the whole deal is Jackson County. Because that's the team, who gets 1% of everybody that plays at the Truman Sports Complex. Whether the Dodgers come in with that payroll and Ohtani, you're still getting 1% of that. Or when the Chiefs play at Arrowhead Stadium, or when Luke Combs has a concert at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri, and Jackson County, 1%. Again, no one's told me where that money's going to come from. I kept hearing about the stadium moves, and they could have kept them. Where is that 1% coming from, that earnings tax from the stadiums? No one's admitted that. No one talked about that with the stadium issues. Is, oh no, we don't want the Royals. Well, no, you didn't want that 1% because that does start to add up when you look at all the income playing at those stadiums or singing at those stadiums. But no one has talked about losing that, which is a significant amount. No one's brought it up.
Bing, do you even think that like where the stadium is currently at, that I understand like the comparison to Lambeau and all that stuff, but are they even able to do anything around Arrowhead currently to make it feel like a Lambeau?
They should be able to, because for years they said nothing would develop at the airport. And so they put the airport up there. KCI was put up there. Nothing was up there. There was an Applebee's on the corner of Berry Road and I-29, and that was the number one Applebee's in the country. It's not there anymore. Then Zona Rosa developed and is built, and it's struggling at this point as well. But they said nothing could be built up in that direction. That's why when the NASCAR track drew that you live out there now, there was a battle between Kansas City, Missouri, and going out to Legends, where it ended up at Kansas City, Missouri, was part of that equation, trying to lure the NASCAR track up by the airport. It ended up going out to Wyandotte County. Obviously, they lost out on that. But, yeah. So, can that area develop? I mean, they said, You know, look at around where the Mavericks play. There's restaurants, shops, bars out there. So we've seen Kansas City change. Look at 135th Street. That used to be just farmland. Now you got, what, Prairie Fire and all these other things. People say development can't happen, and then it does. When you have a winning football team that's consistently been good like the Chiefs have, can that area develop? Can you get shops? Can you get restaurants? Can you get bars? I feel that you can get
Mark
those
Donovan
things,
essentially
but
has
you
already
have to be
said,
willing to try it. I know what they've said.
Mark Donovan essentially already said that they don't believe that they can build around Arrowhead. It would have already happened by now.
I'm just saying, they said other places in the city it wouldn't happen, and then all of a sudden it did.
Yeah, look, there's
like
a lot
I
of things in a perfect...
I truly believe the Sprint Center and Power and Light would do better if it had a tenant all the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in like this utopian world. I think like we sometimes people get upset with us when we talk about the stadium stuff as if we don't understand the fact that yes, in a utopian world, the owners would have paid for everything. You know what I mean? Like, and that. You would have a bi-state tax like they did for Union Station. Yeah, these are all things that I agree with you guys with. I'm just trying to live in a little bit of the reality of like, we know what's not happening. There's not going to be a bi-state tax and the owners are not paying for 100% of it. And so these are $2 billion businesses in the Chiefs and the Royals, and they're going to weigh legacy and also what is best for their business. Doesn't mean we have to like the decisions. I'm just saying like, somebody was saying, that as if, you know, the corporate atmosphere of a new stadium versus Arrowhead. I have never tried to tell you that they are going to be able to replicate, if in fact they even leave Arrowhead, by the way, replicate Arrowhead in a brand new dome stadium. I have never tried to tell you it's going to be the exact same.
Well, are you concerned about the viability of Kansas City, Missouri? Because Kansas City, Missouri is
It would be devastating for KC Mo. Yes.
It would be, and that's a big part of what this area is about. Whether you want the stadiums in Kansas or not, you have to think about Kansas City, Missouri, because whenever you're traveling out to Seattle, whatever you say where you're from, you're not saying you're from Olathe, you're not saying you're from Overland Park, you're saying you're from Kansas City.
Yeah, and there's a Kansas City on the Kansas side of the state line. We forget that as well, Bink.
Like, I know.
I understand the major metropolitan area.
What I'm saying is, when you go somewhere else, Dallas, wherever you say you're from Kansas City, and people,
right.
But when you lose your identity and you lose your teams,
you wouldn't lose the team. They'd be on the Kansas side of Kansas City.
Yeah, but what happens to Kansas City, Missouri, and the economic impact
be a problem
of
for
Kansas
them.
City, Missouri? Yeah, Jackson County screwed up because if they leave, that's that 1% tax going and really the identity. But if you're really worried about the identity of where you're from, which Kansas City, Missouri is the place that you say you're from, and you say, I'm from Kansas City, you're meaning this is the majority of Kansas City. I get it's in Kansas City, Kansas as well, but the identity is Kansas City, Missouri, and you don't want that sinking while other places do well, because you don't want to say, hey, man, I'm from Overland Park. No, I'm from Kansas City. So if you have pride in Kansas City, you want to see Kansas City do well in its entirety.
I firmly disagree with the notion that in order for you to have pride in Kansas City, you have to think the team stay in Missouri.
You don't want to see the city sink.
Yeah, I'm not disputing the financial ramifications for them leaving Missouri. And I understand anybody that's from Missouri that's listening to me right now probably is pissed off, and that's fine. But
doesn't the city subsidize power and light now?
I just think, let me finish for a second, please. Like, if you're going, I completely dispute the fact that for you to be proud of Kansas City, you have to be for the stadium staying on the Missouri side.
I'm
BS.
You don't want to see Kansas City, Missouri fail because you identify that's where you're from. But if all the stadiums leave, what the hell is going to happen to Kansas City, Missouri?
Yeah, there's absolute ramifications. I would say voters had a chance to make sure that wasn't an issue. Politicians had a chance to make sure that wasn't an issue. And there's still a chance, by the way, both stay in Missouri. This is not a foregone conclusion, but acting as if there was no choice ever made.
But you don't want to see that side sink. That's all I'm saying. You don't want to see that side sink.
Look, I don't hide behind it. I'm from the Kansas side, but as I've said 100 times, I spend plenty of money going to the Missouri. I'm not one of these people like, oh, I'm never going to spend money in Missouri. I've spent plenty of money going to sporting events. I have a great time going to Kansas City, Missouri. And yeah, if in fact both teams were to leave, it would be devastating for KC Mo. But at the same time, you cannot tell me that if they went to Kansas, that it means I'm not in support of Kansas City. Like, honestly, F that.
Thing amazes me with the vote, the 3.8-cent sales tax or whatever on gas. We all pay that. If you buy gas in Jackson County, you're paying it. Whether you live in Platte, Clay, or Johnson County, wherever you are, you're still paying that. And it wasn't no new taxes. What they screwed up was by raising people's property taxes at the same time you wanted to do stadiums. Now, these things should have been a separate deal that should have cut them after. Should have been stadiums first, then property tax, if that's the direction you want to go.
Nobody's disagreeing about the property tax stuff. We all agree that was BS.
Because, yeah, it was. Because people hear the word tax, and nothing you tried to pass after that was going to pass because the word tax. tax became so bad to people as far as getting the property taxes. And I get it. But when you do that first, bad idea. Bad idea by the parties to have that vote done before.
If you're in Missouri, you love what Bink said. If you're not, and you disagree with what I said, that's fine.
I don't disagree with what you said. I'm saying you just don't want to see that side of the state where you identify from start to hurt.
We'll get back to this number of times, I'm sure, over the next couple of months. All right, let's talk about Darren Peterson for a second, though, Bink. He is potentially the number one draft pick, right? Could potentially be the number one draft pick for the NBA next year. And he sat out last night when KU was playing Texas A&M Corpus Christi. And the game itself is not what we're talking about. It doesn't matter. The fact that he sat out, about an hour before tip-off, he came out in street clothes. And it was like, what's going on? And there was a lot of speculation. At the time, the PR staff said, Bill Self will address it after the game. Okay? And so there's speculation like, is he hurt? Is this load management? Now, I'll just play you. You can choose if you believe what he said. But this was Bill Self after the game on why Darren Peterson did not play.
Well, you know, he played the whole game against Carolina, and then we were off Saturday, practice Sunday, practice Monday, and practice today, this morning. But his hamstring was tight this morning, so, you know, I'm not going to risk that. So hopefully it's precautionary, you know, on the reason why he didn't play. So I look forward to seeing him in practice on Thursday. So at least we think that's the case. But it was tight after he practiced today. We practiced this morning at 10 and he practiced. So we didn't anticipate this, but at the end of practice, he said it was tight. So they told me no reason to go.
So he's saying it's a hamstring injury that came up during practice that day. Now, that, of course, has had people questioning whether or not that's actually the case or not. So far, he's only missed one game. Let me be clear on that. Like, he's missed one basketball game.
We're talking about, like, 10-game stretch here.
Yeah, this is not. They played 10, and he's missed four of them, and off and on. Now, it was Texas A&M Corpus Christi, and I would say with any sport, certainly a long college basketball season, if your star player is hurt, and knowing that you got Duke coming up, and you've got UConn coming up, and all that, you're going to be cautious early on in the season. So I think there's, to me, people automatically took it as load management. I view it as if someone's hurt, they're going to be cautious with a star player or any player. Now, could this ever happen? Yeah, I think there is a scenario where, whether it's Darren Peterson or any other guy that could be a top five draft pick, Bink, where we get to a point with the NIL money and what's at stake for these guys' future earnings in the NBA as well, where you could have certain players, you know, essentially say, I'm going to sit out this game over the next. Heck, we kind of, in a weird way, have seen this, you know, happen with college football already, of course. I mean, on a smaller scale, Dylan Edwards, guys, has been healthy for Kansas State. He basically said, I'm leaving. I want to keep my eligibility. That's a little bit different.
But he wanted to keep it within the four games, like I was telling you, so he could leave. Because it's a business decision.
Right.
So that's what he did. I'm with you. And had this been a long stretch of game with Tracker, put yourself in their shoes, though. Honestly, you have a guy, and I get it. I don't think it's part of the deal. But if his hamstring is, you know, a little bit sore and a little bit tight, are you going to risk that against Corpus Christi when you have team number three, number four in the nation coming up really quickly for the Kansas Jayhawks within the next five games? Are you going to worry about that, or are you going to rest that player for that particular game? Well, let's just be honest. Let's just be realistic about the situation. Yeah, if you have the number one pick probably in the draft coming up, wouldn't you rest that player if you're Bill Self?
Why would you
chance the injury for him?
What incentive does Bill Self have to care about the Pacers or the Nets or the Pelicans?
That's not it, though. It's winning national championship, having him available later. Like, you go out and it becomes more of a long-term injury because you pushed it. Wouldn't you rather have that player for when it does count instead of against Texas Corpus Christi? Yeah, so I'm just saying, practical matters, put yourself in the coach's shoes. You got a player that's talking about his hamstring, and it's not 100% where you want it. Are you really going to chance it in the game that you know you're going to wax him anyway, or are you going to rest that player so you can utilize him when you actually need to?
I think the difference, though, in this, Bink, and I get what you're saying, but if we're using Darren Peterson as an example, he tweaked his hammy, and they didn't play him. If he had been healthy all this year, and then all of a sudden he's like, he's not playing in this game because we're wanting to rest him, essentially, is what Bill Self would have to say, just to the integrity of the game itself. I think that then we can have a discussion. But to me, it doesn't, because these games, they use to help the cohesiveness of the players and the chemistry build up. Because a lot of these guys, like Darren Peterson, as great as Darren Peterson is, collectively having to play with Flory, having to play with whoever else is on the roster. The same thing goes with AJ DeBonsa at BYU, Koa Pete at Arizona, all the players that I talked to on Big 12 Media Days, a lot of young players. They got to build that cohesiveness so when they get to January, February, March, it's not they're not learning to play with each other together because they rested against some of the bad teams, and then all of a sudden, like Kansas collectively might be really good talent-wise, but hey, they didn't play Darren Peterson against some of these bad teams, so in this little stretch we're talking about, they go 2-5, and they're out of the top 25, and then Kansas fans are pissed. I think that...
I agree with you 100%. I agree 100% on everything you're saying.
I think he's legitimately hurt, and that's why they're... That's why Bill Self is taking his time. Now,
I think it's a different situation, but I do think it can be a problem in the future.
I do, which is why I think part of this is, and this technically from a talent perspective hurts college basketball, but I think it also benefits college basketball in the long run as well. The NBA has got to figure out a way to let these guys play and go straight to the NBA out of high school, because there are current NBA players who said Darren Peterson could have played last year as a senior in high school in the NBA. We're seeing what he's doing now. It feels like the NBA has got to go back to where Dwight Howard and Kobe and all these other players, Tracy McGrady, just went straight to the NBA out of high school, and LeBron.
That's a whole other discussion. Football players should be able to do it without waiting 3 years?
No, because football is totally different than basketball. I think it would help college basketball, Bink.
No, I do think you should be able to go right out of high school as well.
There are no high school football players who can play in the NFL. Football is so much different.
There's no way. I totally agree with you, Drew, on that.
I think it would help, maybe not necessarily, but in terms of...
You don't think Ahmad Hardy could go play in the NFL right now? You think Jeremiah Smith could go to the NFL right now?
He's not a high school player.
But he's not doing the full 3 years. He's going to have to wait till 2027 to be drafted.
I understand that.
I think a guy like Jeremiah Smith could play in the NFL right now.
But this is the thing. We're talking about Darren Peterson, who's going to be a top three pick in the draft. We're not talking about Flory resting and load managing because Flory might go to the NBA after this season, sure, but he's not a top five pick. I think there's a difference in guy who's going to go top five, let's rest him because he's a top five pick and we need something, as opposed to just let me load manage my guy who's the sixth man of my team because I want to make sure he's good to go for the tournament.
I think it's smart to let these players go to camps to find out where they're going to be drafted instead now to go back to school.
That's, again, not what... That doesn't apply to Peterson.
I think this is a real injury issue. But do I think it can be a long-term problem? Yes.
Yeah, I don't think it's accurate to say that Darren Peterson is load managing already. I think that's inaccurate. But I think there's a chance it could happen, whether it's with him or others, in the future. All right, guys, let's get to what's trending. And then earlier today, Ross Tucker joined us, our Odyssey NFL insider. We asked him about some of those top contenders in the AFC and what does he make of the 2025 Broncos? That's next.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Mer- Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on what's trending, some injury news in the NFL. So Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, is out Sunday after having surgery for appendicitis. He's at least out for 1 week, could be out more. Obviously not something that was planned, emergency appendectomy. So they will be without their top wide receiver, as the Cardinals will have Jacoby Brissett, of course, starting presumably the rest of the way at this point with Kyler Murray on the IR. Elsewhere, we also know that Jameis Winston will start for the New York Giants on Sunday with Mike Kafka as the interim head coach. It was his decision, he said today at a press conference. Now, that's also because Jackson Dart is in concussion protocol. Basically, he's choosing Winston over Russell Wilson, and I can't blame him.
No, it's a smart decision, and both of them are not going anywhere. For Jameis will be in this league for a while as a backup concern, but they're doing the right thing with this. Obviously, he'll be restructuring, reset with the new head coach coming in there. I did like Kafka in Kansas City. Like, I enjoyed when Kafka was here.
Oh, they loved him. They didn't want to lose him. That was the known thing. Elsewhere on what's trending, Guardians pitcher Luis Ortiz, of course, he's one of the pitchers involved in this pitch rigging FBI investigation. He pled not guilty. Now, I still don't believe Manuel Clase is in custody yet. I know at one point in time they were still seeking that. They had already arrested Ortiz. He's now released on $500,000 bond with GPS monitoring until November 19th court date. He already surrendered his passport to authorities, who's also ordered to limit his travel to New York, Massachusetts, and Ohio. He has to stay in that area. I don't think, I was trying to see the update on this, I don't know if they have arrested Clase yet. Yeah, I don't see any evidence of that yet. So they're still trying to track him down or arrange for him to come back.
Down the Tigers without Clase. Really thought that'd be a big thing for him going forward. Looks like Jair Alexander is going to step away from football.
Yeah.
By the way, it's a weird deal. He was let go by the Packers. Obviously, the Mark Jackson spoke up, said, hey, it'd be nice to bring in Alexander as his teammate at Louisville. Philadelphia trades for him to go help the Eagles, and he wants to step away from football to get himself right. He was inactive. He was a healthy scratch for like five games, I think, as it was for the Ravens, who really needed help in their secondary anyway. So they thought, okay, we'll go ahead and trade you anyway. But he steps away from the Eagles. Really bizarre deal. Especially this time of year when you're just traded.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley. He's filling in for Cody today. Cody, we'll be back next Wednesday. For those that you were asking on the text line, we text with Cody this morning. Surgery went well. He's expected back on Wednesday. I'll let him give a story that he told us, which I'll let him tell the story when he comes back next week.
All right?
But he's doing great. Right. Yeah, it sounds like everything went well with his operation yesterday. Bink, you're in tomorrow. Logan back on Friday. Bink, then you're back next Tuesday. So that's just for those that were asking on the text line, what's up with the show and everything. That is what is going on. Earlier today, our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker, joined us. He, of course, joins us each and every Wednesday. We got into a conversation about some of the contenders in the AFC, but we started our conversation asking him, does he agree with the comparison that the 2025 Broncos are a lot like the 2024 Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I'm ready to go there, but there are some similarities for sure. It's funny, like when you say that, I immediately think of Patrick Mahomes and obviously Bo Nix. I'm like, yeah, no,
exactly.
I'm not comparing.
For sure.
I'm not comparing those teams. I'm not comparing these two. However, you know, Nix has pretty clearly played his best late in games when it mattered the most, and found a way, you know, against the Eagles, a lot of these games to find play his best at the end against the Giants, and they find a way to win. So, yeah, I guess there are some similarities in that regard. Although, you know, the flip side would be the Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of funny. You know, the Broncos out here 8-2, Chiefs 5-4. The game's in Denver, and the Chiefs are still 3.5-point favorites. And by the way, everybody agrees they should be.
No question about it. When you look at that defense they have, though, the sacks, the 46 sacks, leading the NFL by 14 sacks, with Zach Allen, what he's doing, Nick Benito, that defense does cause teams problems. When you look at the Broncos' schedule going forward after the Chiefs, it's very favorable to the Denver Broncos. But this defense, you going to say it's an elite pass rush at this point, or do they still need to prove themselves more?
No, they are. They're elite. You know, they just don't have, for whatever reason, and games like this make a big difference, they don't really have any household names. I'm not sure why, because Zach Allen should be, Nick Benito should be. I mean, these guys should be household names, but like I said, for some reason, they're not. And maybe they will. I mean, that would not be good for the Chiefs. If they become household names after this game, that would be poor timing for you guys.
Yeah, no question.
The AFC West, though, Ross, looking at that, where the Broncos already, as you said, have 8 wins, the Chiefs sitting at 5-4. I mean, it seems very obvious here. I mean, if the Broncos win this game, the Chiefs' chances in the division are over. The Broncos, I guess, would still have to worry about the Chargers. But to me, if the Broncos can beat Kansas City and get to 9-2 with that game still on the horizon against the Chargers, who they already did lose to earlier in the season, I feel like the Broncos are winning this division if they win Sunday.
Yeah, I think they have a really good chance. And I think the thing I feel strongly about, along with you, would be if the Chiefs lose the game, they're not going to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the good news for the Chiefs is that I think everybody believes that they could go on the road 3 straight playoff games and win those 3 games and get back to the Super Bowl. And that's certainly possible. But you don't want to be in a position where you're increasing your degree of difficulty. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. I mean, I broadcast the Packers-Eagles game on Monday night, okay? I could have had 3 brats at halftime. I had 2. I showed restraint. I only had 2 in a 5-minute period at halftime. But just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. The Chiefs, I think, coming off a bye, recognize the incredible importance of this game. I'd be surprised if we don't see, you know, the best version of that.
How viable do you see, Ross, as far as the Chargers are concerned? Because you look at this hierarchy of the AFC West with the Chiefs, the Broncos, and the Chargers all kind of in the mix. This team, and you being a former lineman, when you think about the Chargers, yeah, things were good for them at first. Joe Alt was playing. Does the tackle make that much difference? Because he was out. Pipkins is out. Obviously, Rashawn Slater's gone for the year. Alt comes back. They absolutely rolled the Minnesota Vikings 37-10. Then they had to hang on against the Titans when Alt got hurt again. Does he make that big of a difference for that team? Because it looks like he does. Because when he's out there and Pipkins is out there, they keep people off of Justin Herbert.
Well, you know, that's the thing. They're really down their top 3 tackles. I mean, Rashawn Slater is an all-pro caliber player. They lost him before the season. Then they lose Alt. You know, I did that Titans-Chargers game a couple weeks ago where Alt and Bobby Hart got hurt. And they hadn't really announced this, but it felt like Bobby Hart had kind of won the right tackle job. So they're out there playing with their 4th and 5th offensive tackles, which makes what they've done to this point extremely impressive, but it also seems likely that they would win the division. I mean, that is an uphill battle. Herbert's taken so many shots. I'm not sure Herbert is going to stay healthy or make it through the year.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. What would it take? At what point in the season would you be concerned the Chiefs actually not making the playoffs? Let's say they lose on Sunday. They drop to 5-5. The Colts on deck at that point coming to Kansas City. The Jags just lost last week, which was important based off of the seeding and everything. The Chiefs, of course, do not have the tiebreaker over Jacksonville. What would it take for you to actually be concerned about Kansas City making the postseason?
If they lost the next 2. You know, I mean, I think certainly if you have a losing record and you're in the second half of the season, you got an uphill battle. Even if they lose this game to the Broncos, I think, you know, alarm bells will sound. But then it'd be the next week after the Colts. They lose that one, then they are in serious trouble. That would be wild if after all these Super Bowl appearances in a row, they don't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, the December schedule looks great for the Chiefs, having Houston at home, Chargers at home. Their only road games in December on is at Vegas and at Tennessee. Very winnable games, and the Broncos squeezed in at home too. But this trifecta of games with Buffalo, they have that loss. Obviously, the Broncos game this weekend. Then the Colts coming out before kind of a Cowboys Thanksgiving game, and who knows what's going to happen in that one. Do you look at the Colts as a realistic team? When you see them, what they're doing, Daniel Jones, I get it. They bring him in. They trade 2 first-round picks for Sauce Gardner. Like, they're believing in what Daniel Jones could do. But on the flip side, he's had 7 turnovers in the last 2 games. I know Jonathan Taylor's a stud and Tyler Warren's a stud. Are you buying into the Colts, or do you need to see more?
No, I'm a believer. I think they're very, very good. Now, the offensive line has not performed quite as well the last couple games. You referenced the turnovers by Daniel Jones. I guess, like a lot of people, and you could probably say this about the Broncos, the Patriots, all these teams leading these divisions right now, it's kind of like, okay, I believe they're good, and I believe that they'll maybe win a playoff game or whatever, but I also will believe they beat Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs when I see it.
Right.
You know, we all have a tough time picturing teams that haven't done it in a long time with quarterbacks that, you know, are up and coming or haven't really established themselves, beating the elite like Mahomes, Allen, and Lamar Jackson.
So with that said, then who do you consider the current, you know, Super Bowl contenders? We were trying to go through this yesterday, and I was doing it as well, and I'm like, I could list like 8 teams. I'm like, there's no way I can say 8 teams can win the Super Bowl, but it does feel more wide open. If I only let you pick 4 or 5, who are the contenders right now?
Well, in the NFC, I would say Eagles, Seahawks, Rams. I feel very good about those 3 teams. I mean, the Seahawks and the Rams, I do power rankings every Tuesday on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. The Seahawks and Rams might be the 2 best teams in the NFL. And they play against each other, by the way, on Sunday at the same time.
It's a great Sunday slate.
At the same time as the Broncos against the Chiefs. So I feel really good in the NFC right now about Rams, Seahawks, Eagles. AFC, that's where it gets strange. It's probably still Chiefs and Ravens. I mean, it's 2 teams with a combined, you know, 9-9 record. I mean, right now, those are the two teams I feel the best about. You know, the Bills coming off a really bad loss. And one of these teams, Colts, Broncos, Patriots, has a great chance to be the number 1 seed and all that. I'm just not sure those teams are quite at the level of the other teams, despite their records. Out of those 3, though, I would say the team I like the most is probably the Colts.
Ross, when you look at your time in the NFL, was there a certain time in the locker room where teams kind of came together? Because it's one thing to look at games earlier in the year. I mean, after all, the Raiders beat the Patriots in New England first game of the year, so that doesn't count. And that's weird. Teams are trying to find themselves. Was it Halloween? Was it the month of November? Was it that December stretch? When was it that you guys kind of came together as a team and realized, all right, it's go team now? And that team is the team to evaluate going forward rather than the beginning of the season. When did that kind of start for you?
It's a great point, and I think it changes from year to year, team to team. Ironically, we were the last winless team in 2001 with Marty Schottenheimer in Washington. We were 0-5, and all of a sudden, LeVar Arrington had a pick 6 against the Panthers. We won the game. We won the next 5 in a row. Or even 2004 with the Buffalo Bills, Mike Mularkey, we started off 0-4. We went 9-2 in the next 11 games. So we were 9-6 going into the last game of the year against the Steelers. So you don't really know when it's going to turn. But those teams, you know, a team like the Baltimore Ravens, on some extent the Patriots or the Broncos, but the NFC, the Seahawks, the Rams, these teams that have won 4, 5, 6, 7 games in a row, those are the teams you really got to look at, because it's not just a one game thing. A lot of this league is like a week to week league. Mm-hmm. Teams are up and down. You start winning 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you're doing something.
Ryan Dable out as the head coach of the Giants yesterday or 2 days ago, I guess, whatever it's been at this point in time. We know Jackson Dart, they made the switch to him to, you know, try to save his job. Brian Dable did. It didn't pan out that way. Now Jameis is going to start on Sunday, it looks like. Where do you think that organization goes? They're holding on to their GM at this point in time, and they're now going to be one of two teams that currently have openings. Eventually, I'm sure they'll be 5 or 6.
I have a tough time picturing Joe Shane still being their GM. I mean, that you think about the guys that he's let go.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley, Xavier McKinney. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think it remains to be seen whether or not Shane really stays there. I would have gone for the clean sweep if I were the Giants. And I think they're probably going to try to get somebody established, like an established winner. I don't think they'll do this, but it seems like this is always the spot where Belichick wanted to end up.
Oh, man.
And maybe they'll say, you know what, let's bring him in. You know, because at least at that point, you know you've got a guy that has some serious chops in the NFL.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy's a name I think people are already kind of speculating a little bit along the same lines of what you're saying, an established guy that has a track record in the NFL of success. Belichick, I just wonder how much what has happened at North Carolina do you think is just, and knowing that he couldn't get an NFL job prior to North Carolina, how much do you think that the NFL is just done with him?
Well, I think there's part of that. I also think, you know, that North Carolina is not doing well. I think the off-the-field stuff. I think there's just a lot of noise around Belichick that a team would have to decide whether or not they really felt like dealing with that. You know, and I'm not sure a buttoned-up team like the New York Giants really wants to, although it always seemed like he was going to end up there at some point.
Ross, when you look at the NFL and what's going on, obviously these coaches, they're getting the number one overall pick, you know, like in Caleb Williams' case in Chicago, Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, and this deal with Cam Ward now, all these coaches getting fired that have either first overall selections or first-round picks like Jackson Dart and Brian Dable in New York. What are teams looking for? Because you look at Mike McDonald, defensive mind, it's working in Seattle right now with Sam Darnold. Belichick, defensive mind, worked with Tom Brady. Sean McDermott, defensive mind, works with Josh Allen. What are teams looking for? Are they searching for pairing that quarterback with an offensive-minded head coach, a defensive-minded coach, or just the right guy? Because seemingly we see these quarterbacks being drafted and not fixing right in with their head coach.
Yeah, this seems like a bad process, right? I mean, you let a guy pick the number one overall pick, have a lot of impact on that, and then you fire him pretty early that year. Something is off there when you do that. Now, I guess they would say if we saw progress, we would keep them. But it doesn't seem right. I would agree. I think it's 3 or 4 straight number one picks.
Yep.
Their coach has gotten fired during the season, not even giving the guy the whole season. And I think everybody's always looking for something different. And usually they're looking for the opposite of what they just had that didn't work. You know, if they had a player's coach, now they want a disciplinarian. If they had a disciplinarian, now they want a player's coach. They had an offensive guy, now they want a defensive guy. For the Giants, you know, they had a first-time head coach in Dable, now they want an established guy. It's always the opposite of what they just had that didn't work, which, by the way, is bad process, because the best guy might not be the opposite of what you just had. It might just be a different guy.
Yeah, clearly banners. Ross, you did say you did that Packers-Eagles game, right?
Yeah.
What the hell happened at the end of that game with Sirianni?
You know, it's so funny because it's such a major topic of conversation in Philadelphia, which is unique, by the way, because he's been there 4.5 years. And trust me when I tell you, they're looking to jump on him for any, you know, poor coaching decision. He really hasn't had very many. But now this is the one that everybody's kind of pointing to and saying, what was he doing? I mean, first of all, they won the game. Can you imagine how bad it would be if they lost?
Oh, man.
Yep.
And also, I was doing the game on radio. So, it sounds like Troy Aikman came after the decision pretty hard.
Yeah.
I don't think it was as bad as Troy and other people seem to think it was. You know, every team has, or at least should have, a guy that's in charge of game management. The guy for the Eagles is elite. I talk to him a lot. You know, first of all, I don't think they were supposed to throw a deep ball to A.J. Brown. But even in that situation, if A.J. Brown works back for the football, that is pass interference. And the Eagles win the game and look like geniuses. But even so, I mean, what they could have punted, okay? And that, how many times does the team punt in the 36? You know, and okay, oh, they can take a delay game. Well, the Packers could say, no, we're not letting you have a delay game. We're going to decline it. So there's a pretty good chance you punt from the 36 going to the end zone. So it's a touchback. So you get 16 net yards and not a lot of time comes off the clock. And by the way, you have a 0% chance of retaining possession. You are conceding possession. Whereas if you go for it, there's some percentage, I don't know what it is, but some decent percentage that you convert and you end the game. And if you don't get it, there's a percentage chance that, you know, they get the ball at the 36. I didn't have a huge problem with it. I really didn't. I mean, I think I said live during the broadcast they could kick a field goal. I didn't like that idea because if you miss it, they get the ball where you missed the kick from. They could punt it. They could go for it. I actually thought maybe it was a quick kick, like a pooch punt. Mm-hmm. Which I thought would have been awesome if they had done something like that.
So that was Ross Tucker earlier today, our Odyssey NFL insider. Appreciate him for joining us each and every Wednesday. That's going to do it for us on a Wednesday edition of Cody and Gold. Thanks to Bink for filling in for Cody. He's with me again tomorrow. Tomorrow on the show, fantasy football, Paul Charchian, Josh Klingler going to join us. Damian Hughes will join us. It'll be a snitch line Thursday around 1:15 tomorrow as well. Hope you guys have a good rest of your Wednesday. The Drive with C-Dot and Rob up next.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different.
It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.